13:22, appropriate or inappropriate?
Inappropriate.
Alone, appropriate or inappropriate?
Inappropriate.
In your child's room, appropriate or inappropriate?
Definitely inappropriate.
Part B to that. In your child's room with the door closed, in the bed, half dressed.
Grab the shotgun.
Real life.
Real life street star. Hello. We got her right back. First and foremost, she's back on the couch. We have to say it. Let's definitely do it. Happy birthday, Jaguar, right in person. Another year around the sun. How does this birthday hit differently than the ones prior, by any chance?
Well, I'm wearing my birthday gift.
There you go. From who?
Well, it's tricky.
Okay.
Because it was purchased by a very unhinged young gentleman. I don't know what is. I call him Not Not. And, you know, he was able to do this because my head mod, Ayasha, donated $60 to his Cash App so that he could get me the gift. So Ayasha financed his gift, but she gave 60, and the hat was only 22 on sale. Now I have more than one hat, which means I actually spent my own money for the other one. But all that being said, he did get a $45 haircut with the rest of the money. So, I mean, it was, I guess it was his birthday too. I don't know.
Well, there you go. There you
Thanks, Ayasha.
Right. Shout out to my squad. Well, welcome back on the blue couch. As this interview drops, and if anybody saw behind the scenes or want to go look at behind the scenes on the members or wherever it's going to be at, we're probably touching a million now. With that being said, for when you first came and sat on this, the other couch before it was blue, did you see potential?
The large chair.
I think it was. Yeah, the large chair. It was. I think you famously quoted said. I forgot who you were. You was a bunch of men in the room, but you were like, "Do not second guess yourself. Do not doubt yourselves."
Yeah.
And you were telling. You were speaking to our souls about what you see in us.
Yeah.
Did you see that within a year or so from that interview during COVID? At that.
Absolutely not.
Damn, okay, go
ahead. You don't even have to finish. Absolutely not. I knew it was getting traction, but I really wasn't paying attention. Honestly, at that point in time for me, I was still in my purge state. And it was before I realized that my Instagram gallery became just like viral content for a bunch of weirdos. And some decent people, some decent commentators. And all of that was gearing at the same time. So when Baby Mouse called me and was like, "You're going viral," I'm like, "Huh? What you mean?" And y'all know the story. And,
you know the story.
And here we are. And, you know, I guess it couldn't have happened any other way.
So can I ask you, from the time that you first came on the couch up until right now at this moment, for your life and everything else. I know most people don't regret things, but if you could change anything, do anything different from that moment to this moment, what would that be?
I would have let go of my family sooner.
Wow, that's powerful, man.
Yeah.
Why would you, like, what makes you go in that direction?
Because they were forced to become my biggest weakness. My family was forced to become a liability. And people were used to me walking away. I'm Houdini. Anyone who truly knows me knows that if you see me around for like a year straight, I'm depressed. Something's going on. because I've always been on the move. I've always lived in multiple places. I've always world traveled. No one in my life who truly knows me can even say after school that they spent more than 100 days with me in excess. Ever. That's me.
Why are you so like remote like that?
Because I understand humanity. I don't want to hate people, so I take breaks. I change my environment. I spend the time that I need. I hang in environments or in, you know, societies or cities that feed my culture. Like, my dream life would have been skipped all this fucking exposure shit, finished launching my own independent company out of France, having my jazz club up and running and booking all of my neo-soul friends who are scrounging for work in America while they get to make a foreign dollar that's worth more than what they're scrounging for in America. That would have been my dream. Going to Saint-Tropez on the weekends, hanging out with Natalie, you know, me and Sarah, going down to Montpellier. I would have much preferred all of that shit. I would have much preferred, you know, yacht trips and the shit that I did until I decided I can't fuck with it no more. And then the more I realized, the more I separated myself from that world, I realized there, you know, I tried every option, every angle. And all roads led back to, you still got to do money with them, make money with them. And if you got to do money with them and make money with them, then they still get a say. And if they still get a say, whoever got the most money get the biggest say. And you just a rat in a maze with no doors. It's pathetic. It's a system that's designed to trap you into believing you can't be anything without it. I mean, I don't know how many people I know that have done really, 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 really compromising shit to get a record deal. And I knew that it was never happening. Want to know why? Want to know how I knew those deals was never happening? Because as an intern, I must have, when I would go into the studios and take out the trash, on average, I was throwing away 300 to 500 demos a week. 300 to 500 a week. Not even cracked open. Promo pictures in the trash with it. Now imagine what that looks like for me as an up-and-coming artist trying to find my way, my niche, and knowing that every moment I got, I'm lucky because I could have been one of those motherfuckers whose shit was in the trash. More importantly, on a few occasions, I probably was and didn't even know it. Now, this is back in the day where you couldn't just pick up your iPhone and get GarageBand. No, we had to put in work. Imagine being a 16-year-old single mom and you're working two jobs. You graduate from high school early. You're providing for your kid, but you're still paying for studio time from the local studio motherfucker who's robbing you blind for sub-fucking-par work. You pay him for a mixed down fucking demo and you get some shit that don't sound no different than the shit you put down. Now you done spent, back in them days, $25 an hour. You gotta book 4 hours. This nigga getting a bean out you off top, whether he's a good engineer or not, just because he got the equipment in his basement. Man. That's a fucking hustle.
Man. Repeat that 20 times.
Man. He getting a bean off you no matter what. Yeah. Whether you like the product or not. What the fuck you gonna tell him? Unrecorded? Now, you got to take his mistake to a better engineer. Yes. Because what the fuck, where you selling this shit? Now, the better engineer tells you, well, you know, it's going to be like 50 an hour. Because now I got to go back and I got to clean up all this shit. I'm going to have to relay this. I'm going to have to put it through Pro Tools. You know what I mean? It's real. I really should be charging you like 75, but he fucked you. So, you know what I mean? I'll do it for 50. And guess what? You got to book that shit out of the block too. And he's charging 8-hour blocks to fix this nigga's shit that you already paid for that you can't use. Now you're $750 in the hole for a song that you haven't even mass produced yet, because you still got to get it mastered. That's another $250. Now imagine all your hopes and dreams. You're making $500 a week. You just spent $1,000, and you ain't even paid for your promo pictures yet. Got to have a promo picture with a bio to go with the CD. Or the cassette tape, or the DAT tape. That's what it was like for us. Now you got to sit there and pray he's not a fucking pervert. You got to pray he doesn't have cameras in the dressing room. You got to pray that he doesn't grab your tit again to let you know that you need to drop your shirt a little bit more. But this is the guy that everybody goes to. This is the guy that's approved. This is the guy that they don't want to see anybody else's work but him. So, you know, hopefully you avoid being sexually harassed or assaulted. Now you're $2,000 in. And you go up to that company and you sit with these motherfuckers. And they smile and they listen to your shit in front of you and they tell them, yeah. Well, you know, we about to start signing again. Yo, I feel you, kid. Yo, this shit is dope. Yo, man, this shit is. Yeah, you walking out on top of the world. And before you turn the fucking corner, after you close the door, they're calling you every fucking thing but a child of God and fucking throwing your shit in the trash. And no one's ever going to hear it. Imagine how many millions of motherfucking people have that experience. Over 800,000 artists are signed every year worldwide. And yet, your list of celebrities is less than 250. Out of that, maybe 10 of them will become superstars. Megastars. Tell me something. How many of their best rivals ended up in the trash? How many motherfuckers had that gift and that ability and they went to that label and they said, we're going to sign you, we're going to promote you, and we're going to do this, knowing they're never going to do anything. They're going to put you on the fucking shelf because Clive Davis paid them to sign you. So you'd be stuck and for a favor from him later. Maybe a nomination for a Grammy. Imagine that. You're trapped in that fucking deal. Better yet, let me put a face to it. Bobby Sessions.
That's close to home.
That's not close to home. That's fucking bullseye. What happened to Bobby Sessions? 8 years ago, he was supposed to be the hottest thing out of Dallas. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. He was being looked at. He was actually almost saw as a rival for Big Sean at one point. Got signed to Def Jam. Def Jam. Bobby Sessions. That should have been an easy win. Community activists. Had his sexy on, hung in the right crowds. Where's Bobby Sessions? Def Jam recording artist. Wonder who paid to get him out the way. Because that motherfucker was on fire. until he put his name on that paper. Somebody tell me I'm lying. How many artists were very promising until they went to fucking Erykah Badu's goddamn healing house?
How many?
How many people got auditioned by Coco before they got a meeting with the Badoozle? How many young Dallas rappers right now can tell you to smell a Coco pussy just to get a feature? Have to pay, and the bitch still don't show up. God damn it, I done lost my hat.
I mean, are we just sheep out here?
Like, everybody know the rope of dope with the right sisters.
So, all right, Jenny.
They've been robbing every fucking young rapper on South Dallas. Word on my mama, yo. On my mama, dead or alive.
Center?
She done ran through at least four. You listen to me. She said Coco first. You know my sister really want to work with you.
Man.
On some fucking yummy fine heartbeat shit. Nigga, this shit is wild out here, G. And they be young boys, too. Yo, let's go down to the Big T and look at some grills.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Okay, so...
What would you do for a cash?
So, Jack, stay right there, because...
I'm telling you, these niggas is thirsty. I don't understand it, but it is what it is.
Stay right there. Just today.
Yeah. Y'all know I ain't lying.
Yeah, just today.
Them niggas get younger and younger every year. The last nigga she had over there at the Big T was, what, 28?
Young. We don't know age, but young. But young.
She older than me.
Damn.
I'm 47. Okay. She older than me. That nigga 28.
Sex in the City.
That's not Sex in the City. Nigga, that's SVU. All I know is we were meditating and I woke up with no clothes on. She said the ayahuasca was safe. Like, nigga. You know how many niggas I heard say that in that fucking healing house? God damn, I can't. I'm done with this hat. Fuck the hat.
I get it. Happy birthday, hat. Happy birthday, hat.
Happy fucking birthday to me.
So, Jack.
Shout out to Jill Scott. Diss me to my face, bitch.
Yeah.
I got no time for fake ones.
So well, who we got? Who we got? Somebody calling back. Someone calling back.
They got me laughing.
What's up?
They got me.
Is it? All right.
That's Jay French.
That's French. All right, French.
Point at that camera.
What? French. Point at that camera. Yeah, point at that camera. What up, French?
Hey, man, I see y'all, man.
We had to cut your song at the last one, but...
Y'all fucking did it, man. Did it, man.
Thank you. 1 million views, 1 million subscribers.
Y'all did the big one, man. Y'all did it, man.
Listen. Hey, French, we may not have all day. You need to drop your IG for those to know where to go find that music.
Jaguar J. French. On everything.
Jaguar J. French.
Yeah.
Definitely. Blessings, King.
On everything. Or just J. French on everything. Better J. French
like the man. Yo, we got to get to Club Sativa, bro.
Hold on, man. Congrats to this platform.
Thank you. Them lights, that blue couch. We appreciate.
Y'all finna kill Vlad. Vlad ain't finna know what to do in a minute.
Hey, real quick, French, we're gonna let you get your host on. And Jack, bring the phone close to your mic. Give us one question you would ask Jack. One question. Go ahead.
Jack, one question I want to ask Jack.
Yeah, let's go.
Ooh.
When is your fucking album coming out?
There you go. There you go. Right.
Do you want an immediate response?
I want to.
When I get them three tracks I asked for 2 months ago.
Ball back in your court. Ball back in your court.
Hey, I got you, Jaguar. You know I got you.
Well, then let's get it.
Let's
okay,
do it.
We gotta get
you ain't got to got it. Can we just get it? No, Diddy.
I was watching you singing behind Jay-Z in 2002 or something.
See?
I was watching it last night. I sent it to you. And I was watching how everybody was like reacting to it. And it was incredible. It was really incredible feat. It made the whole thing work.
Man.
And that's where you really, really shine. And I can't wait for everybody to get to see you do that again.
And French, you got a song called FJZ?
Man, no, that's not me. That's AI.
That ain't the single. We're not pushing that single no more. We ain't pushing that single no more. So we going with another track.
AI, man.
All right. AI. Hey, French, salute, man. Hey, watch this when it drops. It's about to be epic. It's about to get epic.
Definitely, man. Trust me. I believe you, and I know it.
Appreciate it.
I see you, my brother. I see you, my brother.
Listen to me. I tried to see you while I was at home.
Really?
Yeah, well, I was in and out.
Oh, okay. It's you all have, good. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about
no,
it.
No, wait a minute.
She said, hold on.
It's about to get crunk.
Oop.
I believe it.
It's about to get real crunk.
Oop.
I know, man. Come on, I know.
All right.
I already know. Like, what all the right. fuck else do I expect? What else okay. can we expect?
Okay.
Well, there you go. Till Jay French the flame, sits
I'm
on the couch.
I'm talking to the flamethrower herself. Talking about it's
gonna
get hot in here.
Hey, man. Love you.
I love you too.
All
French,
right,
salute.
My little brother.
Nah, for real. Shout out Jay French, man. Shout out Jay French. Dope music, a lyricist. Jay, real quick, because you were speaking on the situation of dreams promised, and just today, we seen the dream, no pun intended. Basically get hit with a lawsuit of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Graping.
Yep.
Strangling.
Yep.
And a whole bunch of other things. And
the Weezer.
Because the Weezer go pop. basically in the
ring around the nigga.
Victim. Right. The victim is basically saying, I was promised
catch a girl, career. Get a disease.
Yeah, right. I was promised a career. I was promised, like, and we talked about this last time to where you see.
You mean like the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. How he was running around with Diddy all them years, never got no deal. It was a promise. A lot of promise. A lot of party. A lot of Diddy party. Yeah.
So.
Him camera too, you know?
So do you feel, and again, because we like to speak in percentages. What percentage of celebrities use their power to get sexual favors, you feel?
85% of them, maybe 90.
God, that's a lot. That's a lot.
So is there anyone that you know that has integrity inside of the music industry?
Yes, there are many people that I know. Unfortunately, most of the ones that I would tell you are dead, or you just wouldn't know them.
And would you say they possess any real power? Are the ones who are more so?
You got to understand how it works.
Okay.
First things first, I'm going to tell you where the whole shit is wrong. When it comes to talent, that is a God-given gift. It doesn't belong to us. It was given to us from source. And guess what? It was given for free. Not one of us who are gifted on this planet have ever had to sign a contract with God for permission to use our gift.
Amen.
Ever. But you got to sign a whole lot of contracts with the devil.
Oh, shit.
But whole lot of contracts. Contract for everything with the devil. Contract for your life. Contract for your death. Contract for what you believe in. contract to not believe in what you believe in. Better yet, pay you double if you say some shit you know is bullshit. Push it, sell it, make it work. Look at Coco Jones.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? And yet, Tweet can't even give a fair share. She can't even get a fair share.
No, man, it's worse.
Where is Tweet and Coco Jones any different? Or is it just a replacement? Better yet, October London?
Oh, yeah, October London.
Fabulous. What does that do to Raheem Devon's longevity now? Replacement. Little Kim is still alive, can still perform very well, still spit, still write, still hold down the show.
She was doing that little dance that was kind of leaning.
Whatever it is, it's still better than Mary J. Blige. Whatever it is. And yet, Onika was invented to replace her.
Invented?
See how this work? Little Kim was invented to guarantee record sales for female artists because even though some of them had gold records, even made it to platinum records, they tailed off or they got swallowed up by predominantly male lineups. It wasn't until sex was introduced that female MCs were considered marketable. Look at Rod Digger's first album. Look at her second. Drastically different with styling. B-Girl was what you did if you wanted to be broke and known as a dope-ass lyricist. Female rapper is what you do if you want to get paid. Rhapsody, Sexy Red. Can we talk about it? This bitch getting kicked out of speaking at schools for smelling like weed when she's peddling fucking lip gloss named after goddamn venereal diseases. When's the last time you heard about Rhapsody doing TED Talks or clinics? She should be. They won't even give her speaking engagements at college when she's probably smarter than a lot of the professors they have on staff. You know, we could talk about Tierra Whack and why if they would just let her run, she would have totally replaced Missy and nobody would have ever missed her. It's funny, when Missy was very sick, Tierra was starting to thrive. She did this awesome project about, 7 years ago? She took all of her songs and she broke them down into 1 minute shorts. And then she made a video for each short and then turned that into a mini mega video album. It was awesome. And when it was just about to peak and go through the roof, all the next thing you know, it just kind of disappeared. Tested well, did well. She should already have a diamond album. Why am I saying all of this to you and you're looking at me like you've never heard the name Tierra Whack? And she's from Philly. Wonder why the Roots never featured her at their fucking picnic. They had Jill there. Yeah. Sitting there finally admitting the story of how Amir played her like a whack-ass bitch because she thought ass was going to be on Power 99 Monday morning and it was Erica Wright singing her lyrics and pretending like she wrote it. And Amir co-signed it. It's like Juneteenth for dumb bitches. I don't know.
So, there was a lot.
Ooh, that, you admitted that they robbed you and you're still working with them? Guess you like getting robbed. I don't. But I'm supposed to be stupid. Motherfuckers, Jack Warwright gets dissed by Jill Scott. Can we address that?
Yeah, please.
Now I want to ask you a question, all of you, because you're kind of getting to know me a little bit. When you hear thumbnails like that, what do you think I would say?
You don't face it.
What would be a typical Jag response to Jill Scott? This is Jaguar right on stage.
You would know something about her that we don't know.
No, I would simply say. No. Christopher Williams tried it too. Oh. It'll have the same effect. Okay. You a trash ass whore. You and I both know that. But just to prove that at one point in time I cared about you, I'm going to share two stories with you. And this is me talking to you, Jill, directly. After all this time, since you want to use me for clout, let me get you a little clarity. I was your friend, bitch. You did recon on me. You studied everything that I did. You studied everything that I am, and I allowed you to borrow my talents and my gifts. Never asked for an ounce of credit. Just wanted to see you win. After all that fucking and sucking in Central, all them trips to the goddamn clinic, you know, you deserve to win at something because you certainly weren't winning at life. I'll never forget the day you called me after you came home from your in vitro. I was in Voorhees, you were in Marlton. We were married, you to Lizelle, me to Sam. We were both unhappy. We talked about how much we hated our marriages all the time. I just didn't write a song using that nigga's name and pretending like I ever gave a shit. You were better at acting than I was. Still are, I guess. You think people fuck with you. They don't. Not really. You cried to me and said, Jag, all I want is to be a mom. And I fucked up. And I told you, it didn't matter how many times they had to scrape your cervix. It didn't matter how many times you went through the pain. I was going to be there for you. And I told you, you will be a mother one day. You will have a beautiful child. It will happen. Maybe not right now, but it will happen. And you cried and you said, you really believe that? And I said, Jill, I know it. Was I wrong? Now, I didn't know you was going to use a nigga that I was dating, that I was sleeping with. I didn't know he was going to be the vehicle for your happiness. But you got John's baby. Shame you don't let him spend no time with his daddy. He's almost grown now. He'll be able to choose. I don't know, unless you use your pocketbook to keep him on a string like you do every other man in your life. Never trust a bitch that leads with her asshole and her wallet first. You and I are not the same. I enjoy what I do. You fill yourself and find no enjoyment, and we both know that. Terrence Howard, at your house while you were still married to Lizelle. He loves me. Shame you didn't. We know that to be true. Another story I got for you. The day we had to go fix the drywall and you were asking me which Home Depot could we go to where no one would see us get the patchwork for when Lizelle put you through the fucking wall, bitch. You kept forcing the issue of a baby and he told you, your first husband said, I've seen the way you treat your pets. I'd never trust you with my child. That's what your first husband said about you, bitch. He loves me, maybe not. You can say whatever you want to say about me, Jillian. I could say a lot of things about you. I forgave a lot. You came from a long line of lying whores. The shit your mother used to tell you at night, 12, 13 years old, coming into your room, telling you how to suck dick, telling you how it was gonna be so great when you finally could learn how to bust a nut, telling you how to jerk yourself off so you could get into that feeling so you'd be ready for sex. Your mother turned, ooh, bitch. If Blue Bay ain't dead, this might kill her. Everybody know about y'all. Only reason you ain't act a fool in North Philly is because North Philly would have fucked you up. You waited till you got some money and moved out of town to start popping fly and hiring all your friends' ex-boyfriends so you could fuck them and brag about it. Who the fuck would be jealous of you? And who gives a fuck about what comes out of your mouth? What I will say is this. You know me, Jillian. Just like I know you know how much I hate everything you've done to all of your friends, so-called friends. Well, should we talk about Plutter? Maybe your fans should know what kind of egomaniac you really are. You fucking tortured a dog over a pair of, what was it, Manola Blahniks? Your dog, Plutter, who shat in your shoe. He missed you. You were gone all the time. You left him in a cage. You let him out. The nigga got wild. He shat in your shoe. Now a normal person with a real heart would have cleaned the shoe, taking it to the shoe cleaner, found some way to discipline the dog. But see, you knew that dog was afraid of children. He was a rescue. What did you do, Jillian? You gave Plutter to a family with six small kids. That's you, Jill. I remember the day you called me and we were talking and I said, there's no barking. Where's Plutter? I gave that little motherfucker to a family full of kids. Fuck that bitch. And you laughed and said, he should have never shat in your shoe. Lizelle was right. Who would trust a person like that with children? I could kill you.
Ah, man.
Right now, I could murder you. There's shit I could say that would make you never want to come outside. I know you, Jill. You want to diss me? Come on.
Yeah, man. Shit, yeah.
Because yeah, I promise you, bitch, you keep fucking playing with me. And I'm gonna say some shit so real about you, you gonna duck every time a notification bell go off on your phone. Look both ways before you cross my mind. You sitting there trying to play me with a bunch of niggas that been robbing you for years and passing you around to Tyler Perry and every fucking body else while you waiting for another why did I get married? You should know why by now. You've done it a few times. Fuck you in that picnic.
Picnic. Damn.
Anyway.
Ah, shit, Jack. Wait, hold on. Would you say...
What did that Kendrick said? Don't tell lies about me, and I won't tell truth about you.
Yeah.
Learn from Aubrey. Stand down. All y'all motherfuckers. Or does everyone want to move to the embassy? Because I can think of some things you do in your DMs, Jill.
What's
with people under 18.
Oh, okay. I don't want to know. Damn. Okay.
Don't get me started.
Shit.
I'll make you duck.
Damn. You know.
Like to see it when a big bitch ducks fast. Gravity. Inertia.
Oh. Okay, okay. Jack, what do you say to those? What do you say to those that be like, they be like, it be your own people? He's like, you're going after your own, Jack.
These ain't my people.
Okay, all right, shit. Got it.
Who the fuck people is these?
Yeah, all right, just making sure.
Who daddy people?
right. Just making sure.
See, that's the thing. The simple fact that we put, but that's your people on it. And that excuses the fact that they're monsters.
Hey.
You know what that sounds a lot like to me? But your uncle molested me. But hey, you know what I mean? He did it to me too. It's cool. Just.
Nah, for real.
Family always gonna cover that shit up.
They will say, hey, not our own.
And that's what the music industry is. It's a sick little nasty family, a foster family at that.
Yeah.
It sells dreams. It sells hopes. It sells a lot of shit. But you know what it never sells? Reality. I'm going to say two names. Usher, Chris Brown.
Usher, Chris Brown.
Who's the best male artist in the world? Between the two of them.
Oh, Chris Brown? Usher? Chris Brown. I don't know. Neither. Shit. Is this a trick question? I don't know.
No, I'm serious.
Who do you think is the best?
Chris Brown is the better prodigy.
What does everybody else think?
I said Usher.
Usher. The majority is Chris.
But I said Usher.
I want to know why you say Usher.
Why do I say Usher? Because
I guess they put him in the spotlight more. I just kind of grew up to him, maybe.
Yeah.
Longevity, like, you know.
Right. And yet, you put the two of them on the stage, and Usher will disappear. The second that Chris Brown starts working his game.
Yes, it's true.
I've watched Chris Brown disappear an artist in real life. No, I'm serious. If you go through my Instagram feed on my big page, Jaguar Wright, you go back to 2015, you'll see footage of me at a Chris Brown Trey Songz concert in San Jose. The reason why it sticks out for me was because it was the first night I turned down a backstage pass because I wanted to be in the audience when Chris hit stage. Mm-hmm. The reason why it was so special to me because I was there with my ex-boyfriend, who's a professional dancer, who was a part of a dance crew, legendary dance crew on the West Coast called the Housing Authority from Richmond. Oakland, Bay Area. One of the members, the lead member, Richmond, who they call him Richmond after his town, is Chris Brown's choreographer. Richmond invited me and Jammer to the show that night. I wasn't invited by Chris. I was invited with the man that invents his dance steps. Much different. So I could have went backstage. I didn't want to miss it because I knew they was turning up. Trey Songz went on first. Chris Brown went on second. Then they came back out on stage for that tour and closed the show out together. Trey Songz was cool. Everyone had a decent time. And he did his set and there were applause and it was cool. We got there for the last two songs. So at that point in time, when we got to the stadium, it should have been at a high, you know? Mm-hmm. That should have been the height of his show. They were responsive, but they wasn't over the top. From the second Chris came out, he walks out, the lights go on, boom, boom. This nigga comes in with a high karate, Bruce Lee, some tight kick shit, flip, turn, dip, stop. And it said, everybody lost it. He did two half of moves and a piece of moonwalk. And these motherfuckers is going crazy. Much different crowd, same audience. Chris Brown show was a Chris Brown show. This was the Pepsi challenge, though, when it came time for the both of them to perform together. Trey was, they were supposed to be singing duets, and Trey is on stage and he's doing his thing. Chris is on the side of stage, laying on a bench, jumps up out of nowhere, comes down. Next thing you know, Trey Songz disappeared. Ain't nobody looking at this nigga no more. Then Chris is sitting there doing this shit, Trey's church boy to the motherfucker, you know. And Chris is sitting over here, was like, and everybody cried. like niggas was watching, you know what I mean? They mama go to jail screaming from their song. Like, and at the end of the night, Chris had to remind the audience to clap for Trey Songz. Imagine what a diminishing moment that night was. There was like 35,000 people there. And they had to be reminded to clap for a motherfucker that had been on stage for at least 90 minutes. Y'all don't forget to clap for Trey. Come on, give it up for Trey. Come on, man. It's my little cousin. Y'all, man, show him some love. Don't just, come on, man. And he wasn't even being cheeky. He was genuine. He wanted them to acknowledge him too. But the truth is, the crowd has spoken. That was a Chris Brown show. And it also was a magic act because we watch Chris Brown make a whole so-called R&B star disappear right in front of our very eyes. He didn't even move, just disappeared.
He didn't even move.
Now imagine what that would look like next to Usher. No different. Ask me what Usher and Trey Songz have in common.
What do Usher and Trey Songz have
in common? They've been at a flavor camp with the diddler.
Trey Songz definitely been to the flavor camp.
Yeah, yeah. Trey Songz definitely has
with the diddler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold on.
The diddy doo wop bop.
Yeah, yeah.
Trey. Now stand this way. Stand this way. Now stand
this way. Yeah. Trey Songz has his own allegations, and you know he has his own situation.
He should.
Yeah.
He should have everything. Damn. Literally. Way I seen him spread around.
Damn. Yeah. Neighbors know my name.
He was real turned out on my young boy. He was turned out on my young boy.
Whoa, wait. Whoa, hold on. You can't just say some shit like that.
What?
You can't just say that.
And what do you mean?
What you mean? What you mean?
I mean, he was turned out on my young boy.
Okay. I'll leave it there. We'll leave it there.
No, we ain't got to leave it there.
Oh, shit. Okay, all right. Wait.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
God damn.
His days might have started on Star Island, but that Maserati or that Lamborghini would leave and be parked right there on Biscayne Bay. Faithfully.
Oh, man.
Trey Drive, Diddy car right over there, Biscayne Bay. Eating cheddar biscuits and shit. Ask Trey Songz if he liked Red Lobster and them cheddar biscuits. He liked them cheddar biscuits. I know he ate some of mine. I cook for all my babies. I go over to my baby's house and we'll hang and talk and drink and have fun, and have a fag, you know, a cigarette. And I'll cook, you know, and I know they're partying and working and stuff like that all the time. A lot of them are in the life. So I always make sure they have a home cooked meal. You know what I mean? And Trey likes my cooking from what I was told. He like it a lot.
So, speaking of the diddler, right?
Yeah.
there's things that come out in the news that he had underground tunnels.
Yeah. So,
did you know anything about that before? Oh, my God.
But y'all think El Chapo the only one know how to dig a hole? That's so racist. Only the Mexican digs holes.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Is it for entering or exiting? Shit.
Maybe it's for neither. Maybe it's just to move without detection. The funny thing is we keep getting all this redacted shit.
Yeah.
Like the Epstein Island flight logs. Redacted. What the fuck was the point in showing them? 10,000 words written on paper.
Yeah.
And only 500 of them you're able to read. What's the point? 10,000 words, how we get it? Hold on, wait a minute, let's guess. Wait a minute, hold on, let's put this between. This person was seen blank with this blank and blank, 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 blank.
Wait, something just may not be ready for our ears.
Say it blank.
I mean,
say the blank, the blank, the go to dot. You miss. We ain't see shit.
Gotta
we don't know
up.
Shit.
Black ops. Gotta blank it out. I mean, some things we're not ready for yet.
Yo, man, if the government was a rap song. Yo, we see shit. We don't know shit.
For real.
Yo, if the government was a rap song right now, what would it be?
We ain't seen shit. We don't
know shit. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Come on now. Facts.
All I want to say, who going to drop 16 on that shit?
Come on now.
Oh, shit, that might be the end of me. You know, he started singing that shit. You saw what happened. That's why I ain't doing no pain medication. Fuck that. Give me some yoga. You know what I'm saying? Give me some herbs, some turpentine, you know? Give me that old shit. I ain't fucking with these niggas. Hell no, what?
Michael Jackson's children have been locked out of his estate because they're saying...
Which children?
Blanket and Paris and... the other one.
Which other one? Mickey Howard's son?
Yes.
That looked just like his father. Just like his daddy. Just like the Love Benji. He looked just like LL Cool J. The only way that boy ain't his son is if he's a clone. I'm telling you, only way. I don't know. Was they taking him out for a test run? I don't know. Whoa, that's the only way. That's not his kid. He spit him out. I'm serious. You done seen the love. Yeah. Is it your kid or is it a clone? America wants to know. I don't know, would she grew them up for parts? I don't know. I mean, ain't that what Nick Cannon doing all them damn babies? I'm just saying that's what they're doing now, ain't it? You get an incurable disease, you have 25 kids, you got your own blood bank, stem cells, you know, a kidney, a lung, liver. Come on, why won't you give it to your daddy? You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of smart, though. Jay. I ain't gonna lie. When you say
listen
like that,
to me. Look, I mad. Just tell the kids what they're there for so they don't feel bad when you don't love them. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't have them thinking that there was a real emotional attachment. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I hate about these Hollywood celebrity relationships that produce children.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Willow and Jaden.
Look at them.
It's still their resilience. For me, it's remarkable. Their resilience. I remember when I met Willow at Sandaga.
Oh.
And me and Gerald were married, actually. It was right after we got married. So this was early 2019. She was here for about 2 months.
Very dope.
Staying at goddamn Healing House with that fucking witch over there on White Rock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I didn't understand why Jada sent her to Erica. It didn't make any sense. Why did Erica need to mentor your daughter? Why? And then I saw... You know, because Willow, that was around the time that Willow got the cover of Dallas Magazine when she was modeling here.
Remember that?
I don't know if anybody remembers.
Google it.
Willow had a little modeling stint here in Dallas for a while before she started going to New York for Fashion Week. And I was curious to see where that was going to go. And she had stopped the music.
She's hella talented.
But after that, whip your hair.
She shaved her head
and all of that. I wasn't sure. I was hoping she would go back to music. Glad when she did. And shout out to Willow Smith, like the new music. I love Wait a Minute.
There you go.
I love Wait a Minute.
Yeah.
Listen to it all the time. And I hear her. She's looking for her joy. Just the way she approaches her lyrics, they come from a cloud. She doesn't live down here. She lives up there because up there is safe. And it makes sense, because when you think about it, what 12-year-old kid would write a letter to their mother's former love who passed away and said, please come back so my mommy can be happy? Like, did anybody ever really talk about that? It was said and people just glossed right over it. That was a huge red flag for a kid.
That is.
Like, when they talk about it and they say it, you know, so politically correct, it lands different. But if you say it how it actually is, like really, how it actually is, you Your kid had to cut her hair off because she hated that fucking hit record, I Whip My Hair Round.
Yeah.
She cut her hair off. Major red flag. Yeah. Kid got a number one. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Hannah Montana didn't shave her fucking head.
Yeah.
Think about that. Huge red flag.
Yeah.
Any normal parent would say, they didn't stop. They didn't stop.
Yeah.
Then there was the moment on social media. She was 13 with a 22-year-old man in her bed.
Saw that.
It's no big deal. We were just hanging. They were just hanging out. I got 3 questions to ask about that.
1.
13, 22. Appropriate or inappropriate?
Inappropriate.
Alone, appropriate or inappropriate?
Inappropriate.
in your child's room, appropriate or inappropriate?
Definitely inappropriate.
Part B to that. In your child's room with the door closed, in the bed, half dressed.
Grab the shotgun.
On social media.
Hell no.
Who took that picture? That's
who did this?
Yeah, it's just, that's, yeah.
We cutting off our hair.
Red flags.
We laid up with old niggas.
Yeah.
That's an old nigga.
Yeah.
When she was born, he was probably already trying to rub one out at the park.
Oh, man.
Think about the difference in that.
The imagery.
She's 13.
Okay.
She might have a period. Might. Breast not fully formed. Pubescent. Hair not grown all the way in.
Man.
And this nigga can go to a bar and buy a beer and get a bitch drunk and fuck her in the backseat of his car and leave her out there with $20 to say, hope you make it home. Like,
the imagery.
This nigga, that could be his Saturday night in L.A.
So.
And he's up in your daughter bed.
Yeah.
With his shirt off and shit. Frolicking.
You call it art.
On social. Frolicking. On social media. Fuck you mean.
So
somebody should have kicked the door in and beat that fucking nigga's ass.
Right.
Period. Didn't happen though. Oh, well, you know, we don't really do rules with our kids. You know, we trust them to make their own decisions and be accountable for those choices.
Yeah.
Who would tell that to a teenager? And take that shit like serious.
It's not becoming of our culture, of our people.
But I'm going after our people. Do they sound like our people?
Hey. Hey.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Hey. Hey.
I don't know them niggas.
What? And Jack, let me ask, because you mentioned.
I recognize the color, you know what I'm saying? But the spirit is all. You know, they selling melanin now.
I heard you could bottle it up.
Shout out Reality Street Stars, nigga. Moving. Hey.
So.
Jag, in the zombie apocalypse, what is your weapon of choice?
My weapon of choice?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Ooh. That's a hard choice.
Yeah, but so we got to think about it like that.
Yeah.
You would kill a motherfucker.
I'm just saying.
You got to think, ooh, how do I want to do them? How do I want to do them?
No, I mean.
Bayonet, you know, ain't there a bayonet with a shotgun on it?
Everyone would think that a shotgun or a rifle would be the go-to.
Close range.
But the thing is what happens if it jams? What happens when you run out of ammo? Now you have to readjust your thinking and you have to readjust your strategy.
Facts.
But if you're just worried about physical fitness, agility, and practice, you're going to go with a machete, you're going to go with a knife.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go with a bow and arrow. Especially if you got a crossbow, if you're lucky enough to have one of those gorgeous things.
Daryl Dixon.
It keeps you focused. It keeps you in a different, it keeps you always present. When you're shooting a gun, you trust that the gun is going to get the job done. When you're swinging a knife, you have to trust that you're going to make sure it gets done. It's something different. Even the same with crossbow and arrow. There's a certain moment where your target and you know this shit is happening. Mm. Like if you've ever taken down a deer, they know you see them right before you release.
Mm.
They accept it.
Damn it.
You got them. And it's just, they freeze. Where the hint, you know, deer in a headlight.
There you go.
I wish human beings were that simple.
Bayonet, still. Bayonet, still. Old school musket bayonet, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Rook, what you going with?
Zombie vibes.
I like the machete to up and close and personal.
Up close and personal. What about you?
A glaive.
Glaive. Oh, you're going with people. Okay.
All right. Well,
it's basically a bow with a long ass knife on the end. I can do the up close and cut from long distance.
You want samurai showdown? Yeah, you go.